It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad, and we are rocking today. It is a beautiful day. It is spring, and March is almost over. April is around the corner, and we are here talking about estate planning again today. Been gone for a couple weeks in spring break, but I'm back. We're live this morning. We are taking your calls this morning on whatever you want to talk about regarding an estate planning matter. We've got wills we can talk about. We've got trusts we can talk about. We've got powers of attorney we can talk about. Living wills, Medicaid, asset protection, pet trusts, special needs trusts. While I was gone, Doug Paul at the Wewell Law Firm, I had a special show on special needs trusts. Those are trusts where we've got somebody that has a developmentally disabled child. It could be an adult child, a minor child, grandchild, whatever. Those are difficult and challenging situations, and Doug did a great job with that. So you can call him with more questions on that. You can call him with questions about probate or what happens when somebody dies with a living trust. You can call him with questions about any news story that you heard regarding this this topic. So we're here. We're live. We've got Andy Wewell, sophomore, and Eagle Scout out there on the phones taking your calls this morning. Andy will take your call, bring your call to me. I'll answer you on the air. We've got Snoop here. He is our board man par excellence, and our call-in number, if you want to call, we'd love for you to call, is 390-1370. 390-1370, 390-1370, 390-1370, with any kind of questions you've got this morning regarding anything to do with estate planning. And it looks like, all of a sudden, we've got a call. And we're not going to wait around. We're going to jump right to our caller, and we've got Karen on line one. Karen, this is Brad Wewell, Law Talk with Brad. Thanks for calling, and what can I help you with?
Sure. Well, you had Mr. Paul on talking about special needs trust a while back.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a good show. And I'm sure that a lot of people want to know more about that. My question is, if you set up a special needs trust or a trust for children, you know, thinking that you'll die and these children will need to be taken care of, who administers the trust, and is there a commission for that? In other words, does somebody get paid for administering that, or can someone in the family administer the trust?
Well, those are great questions, Karen, and we're going to kind of, let me step back and kind of set the table for everybody else who's listening, because your question is an excellent one. What we're talking about here, folks, are special need people. These are people that may be autistic, may have Down syndrome, maybe cerebral palsy, some affliction. It could be a head injury later in life. That's an affliction that they will not be in a position to manage their money later. It could be mental illness. Heck, it could be a drug or alcohol problem for that matter. So, Karen, I think your question is, who should be the trustee of one of those trusts? The special needs trust is what we call them, and can that person get paid? Is that pretty much your question?
Yeah, can they get paid?
Sure.
Well, not can they get paid, but does it have to be paid? My main concern is that a large commission might be paid to somebody to administer the trust, and the recipient
has less money.
Yes.
You bet. Okay, well, let's kind of drill down into that thing, and it's kind of good news and bad news, as a lot of these things are. And I'll say, in the area of special needs trust, it's almost always good news, bad news. So the good news is that a properly administered special needs trust is designed to allow the special need person to get all the government benefits they're entitled to and have the money that's left to them, supplement their incomes and supplement their needs and desires and things like that. And that is the good news. But the bad news is, and this is again why you're calling, is that this is very tricky stuff. And we get folks in our office, Karen, that have the exact same question that you do, and I'm going to give you the answer I will give them, and it's, you know, may not line up with what you want to hear, but here it goes. The problem with special needs trusts is that the rules on what you can pay for, how you can pay it, when you can pay it, change fairly frequently. And if you have an individual, so you have a good-hearted, maybe adult sibling of the special need person, or you've got an adult relative or friend who's willing to shoulder the burden, it's a lot of work, and they could screw it up because they don't keep up with the regulations or whatever, and it can be a real problem. So if you pick a relative, you don't, I mean, you can in fact say in the trust they don't get paid, but they may not be willing to serve, and it can be a lot of work. And what you don't want is either A, an incompetent trustee, or B, an embittered trustee, somebody who's kind of stuck on this thing and it's an obligation and they do not like doing it. And if you don't like doing something, you tend to put it off, and they put it off and they don't do a good job, and the investments go to hell in a handbasket, and the person who needs the care doesn't get the care. So picking an adult, non-professional is possible but risky. So if you go to the professional side, so you go to a professional trustee, you go to a bank or a private trust company, then you are going to absolutely have to pay. And the fees can charge can be 1 to 1.5 to 2% of what's there. There may be more. If it's a small account, they may not take it. If it's, you know, it may be too small, they'll take it, but there's a fixed fee every year, and the fixed fee may be more than 1 or 2% because it's a fixed fee. It may be $5,000, and you've got $100,000 in there. You know, that's a pretty high fee. There is an alternative, Karen, that a lot of people can access, and it is probably, for a modest amount, a great way to go, and it's called the Arc of Texas Master Pooled Trust. Have you heard about that?
Not really.
Okay.
Mr. Paul mentioned it.
Okay. Well, it is an excellent thing, and it's a nonprofit, and it's through the Arc of Texas, and the Arc of Texas, ARC, they just now call it the Arc of Texas. It used to stand for the Association of Retarded Citizens, and it's a group, of course, that looks after special need folks, and they started this right as I was getting into estate planning about 1997. And what you can do is you can give them responsibility over the money. They do charge. I don't know what their fees are. They are less than what you're going to find at a regular trust company. They will manage the money for your special need child. They'll distribute it according to the guidelines that are there, and as they change, they'll make adjustments. You can appoint for your special need child an advocate who can be in contact with the ARC and say, look, guys, Johnny needs, he could use a TV, okay? Let's get him a TV. He could use some other things that are available, and a lot of things are available for a special need person with the right kind of trust. So they can take care of it. They'll distribute it. They'll invest it. And if you set it up right, Karen, when your special need child passes away, then the money that's left in that trust can either go to the Arc of Texas Master Pool Trust to kind of help supplement other people, or it can go back to the other members of your family and be a benefit for them later on too. So the Arc of Texas Master Pool Trust is really, really, really a good thing. And if you want to, you can Google Arc of Texas Master Pool Trust, and it's ARC, and pull it up and give them a call and you know, see if they can help you, because it is a very competent organization and something that I think will benefit you. In fact, hang on one second. I'm going to give you the phone number if you'd like that.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, the phone number here, are you calling locally?
Yes.
All right. It's here in Austin. It's at 474-6694. And that's the kind of the trust manager. Guy named Chris at 454-6694. It's kind of small print for my eyes this morning. 454-6694. And you can Google them. The website looks like it's arcoftexas.org, and you know, look for the Master Pool Trust off of that website, too. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your call, and hope you have a good day.
Okay.
Great. All right. Thanks, Karen. Good question. Special needs stuff, I'm telling you. Everybody knows somebody that is a special need person in their family, it seems like. And the number of reported cases of autism continue to go up, and other things continue to go up, it seems like, and nobody seems to know why. There are a lot of theories out there, but the bottom line is, if you've got somebody in your family, or if you've got somebody in your circle of friends, and they've got a special needs child, then they need a special needs trust, and there's different ways to do it, and there are lots of issues that come with it. But if you do the planning right, the money you leave your special child will be able to supplement what they get from the government. It'll be able to benefit them for a long, long time. Sometimes we deal with cases where there's a modest amount of money and maybe not enough to do all that mom and dad would want to do. And so sometimes mom and dad will go out and buy special insurance. They'll buy some an insurance policy. So when mom and dad die, the money for the special person's special needs trust is available from the insurance, and that's what supplements them for the rest of their life. It's always an interesting and a challenging thing, but, you know, it's a very rewarding thing. We really like doing this kind of planning at the We Will Law Firm because the good you can do and the peace of mind that we can bring to a situation like that is incredible, and again, from our teammates' perspective, it's a very rewarding part of our practice too. So, special need planning is out there, and we can sure help with it. But you know, the Arc of Texas Master Pool Trust that I mentioned to Karen is a fabulous place to start. Okay, we're taking calls this morning. Our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. If you want to, you can email me. My email address this morning is askbrad@wiewel.us. That's askbrad@wiewel.us, and I'll be happy to answer your email question over the air, too, and give you an answer and kind of keep you rolling on this stuff, too. Let's see. What else do we have here? Candace Bocock, who is the Director of Probate and Trust Administration at the We Will Law Firm, is kind of, she is my producer on this show, and she spends a lot of time kind of looking through newspapers and magazines and the internet trying to find me interesting things to talk about. And this is an interesting story off the, it was in the paper and it was also off the internet. Peter Falk, you may remember Peter Falk, he was Columbo. And Peter Falk, apparently, like a lot of folks, has drifted into advanced dementia. And I don't know how old Peter is, but, you know, last time I checked, none of us are getting any younger. Snoop, I think you're getting better looking, but, you know, again, my eyes aren't working too well this morning, so we'll kind of leave it at that. Peter Falk's daughter, apparently, surprise, surprise, is having trouble with her stepmother, Peter Falk's new wife. And Peter Falk's new wife is not allowing Peter Falk's daughter to visit her father. Well, guess what? Peter Falk's daughter wants to visit her father, and she is not too keen about her stepmother keeping her away from her father. And this may sound familiar, folks. I'm telling you, we have never had a situation. Oh, okay. Snoop just tells me Peter Falk is 81 years old. Good going, Snoop. We've never had a situation at the We Will Law Firm where we have a surviving spouse and stepchildren where there weren't issues, So be aware of that. And Peter Falk's daughter went to court and asked the court to allow her access to her father in Texas. There's not necessarily a procedure like this, except that the daughter would have to go in and ask to be made her father's guardian of his person, which means she would be in charge of his health care decisions and all that. And guess what? I imagine Peter Falk's wife is going to fight her on that, because Peter Falk's wife thinks that she is in the most appropriate position to make decisions for Peter Falk, for her husband's health care and where he should be and how he should be treated and all that. And I think what this brings up is perhaps on Peter Falk's part a lack of good planning. That in Texas, if you do the correct planning, you tell the court, first of all, you don't want to end up in court. You want to have a medical power of attorney. You want to have a financial power of attorney. You want to have perhaps a living trust. You want to say to the whole world, look, if I'm in this position, this is how I want to be cared for, and this is who I want to care for me. Period, dot. You can say in a properly drafted, particularly living trust, I would like these people to have access to me. We have some cool documents at the We Will Law Firm, especially for clients we call our life planning clients. We have some cool documents that you can say, again, very specifically, I want this person to be able to visit me. And even if there's a problem with the new spouse, that can still happen. Apparently what's going on here again is that Peter Falk's daughter and her stepmother don't like each other. And this looks like kind of a tete-a-tete, a fight between gals over access to Peter, and it's going to be an expensive fight. And I don't know who's going to win. And there's another cool document you can do in Texas called the Declaration of Guardian, where if you ever need a guardian, what you do is you say, look, I want this person to be the guardian, which means in charge of my money, even if a judge gets involved, and I want this other person, or maybe the same person, to be in charge of my medical decisions and taking care of me physically. If you have a declaration of guardian and things don't work, for some reason your medical power of attorney doesn't work, for some reason your financial power of attorney doesn't work, maybe for some reason, hard to believe, but possible, your living trust doesn't work, then you go to court. And you go to court and say, Judge, I need a guardian. Or somebody says, Judge, Peter Falk needs a guardian. The judge has to pick off the list that you've provided to the judge, and he has to pick it in the order that you've got it. And unless he finds somebody is thoroughly unfit, the person listed first gets picked. And if that person's thoroughly unfit, then the person listed second gets picked. And you cut out a lot of fighting, and you cut out a lot of misunderstandings and hurt feelings and all that. So if you do good planning, you can stay out of court. The key to good estate planning, ladies and gentlemen, is to stay out of court. Because if you're in court, there's a sound. And Snoop, I don't know if you can find that little button you ring that sounds like a cash register. You got that cash register button? Try that. Just hit that one more time. That's the sound you hear, and you hear it a lot louder when you're going to court over an estate matter. So the key to good estate planning is staying away from court if you can. And again, that's something that a good lawyer can help you with, and we do that kind of work at the We Will Law Firm too. All right, it is time for a break. Now, let me go over this one more time. This is a call-in show. We have all our phone lines open. It's 390-1370, 390-1370. Andy Wewell's out there. He's ready to take your calls. Bring them to me. I'll answer your calls, answer your questions over the air. And we've got some time, so give me a call. We're going to go to the break, and I'll be back right after the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back. Law Talk with Brad. While I was on break, Candace Bocock emailed me a little missive here that says that if a special needs trust was done more than how many years ago, it needs to be reviewed. And I will say, if it was done more than 3 to 5 years ago, you need to have a review. Anything needs to be reviewed every 3 to 5 years. Let me tell you, things change so much, and the more you got, the more you need it reviewed. And frankly, thank you, Candace. This leads in a little commercial here for the We Will Law Firm. We sit down with folks all the time. We don't charge for the first visit. We're happy to sit down with you and kind of look at what you might need and help you with whatever your questions are and whatever planning you may want to consider. We don't charge for the first visit unless it's a Medicaid issue. And if it's Medicaid, there's a small charge of $350 for the first meeting. But that's because we can solve a lot of Medicaid problems in the very first meeting. But you can call us. We have two offices. We have an office in Austin at 1601 Rio Grande. We have an office in Georgetown at 1618 Williams Drive, right between I-35 and Sun City. Meetings are by appointment only, but we're happy to make an appointment for you. Our number in Austin, 480-8828, 480-8828. And in Georgetown, it's 869-1435, 869-143. And we see folks in both offices all the time. We have a great website, so if you're able to access the Internet, you can go to TexasTrustLaw.com. TexasTrustLaw.com. You can read about our firm. You can see what kind of work we do. You can read about everybody at the firm. We all have little biographies up there. You can listen to old radio shows. You can watch one of our 81 videos. We have 81 two-minute videos on estate planning on our website. It's really neat, covering all kinds of topics. So if you've got a couple minutes, go to TexasTrustLaw.com, click on the video button, and watch a couple videos. It's pretty neat. And then you can go to our library. And our library has 12 articles, always 12 articles up, about some aspect of estate planning. And this month's article is on special need planning. Supplemental needs is what the topic of the article is. And I'm telling you, it's an excellent article. So you can go to TexasTrustLaw.com, go to the library, and read one of 12 different articles. There's articles in there about beneficiary designations, family limited partnerships, joint tenancy with rights of survivorship, traps, trusts, charitable planning, lots of stuff, kids, you name it. So anyway, TexasTrustLaw.com, the We Will Law Firm. We used to call ourselves your law firm for life, but we have now changed that to the Peace of Mind People. We're the Peace of Mind People because, frankly, at the end of the day, that's all we can give you, but we can give you a healthy dose of that. So, TexasTrustLaw.com, the We Will Law Firm, be happy to help you if we could. Okay, call the number 390-1370, 390-1370. Happy to take your calls this morning on anything that you've got going about estate planning, a will, a trust, a probate, anything like that. I kind of like these stories about celebrities a little bit. And here's another nutball celebrity thing here, too. The Peter Falk thing that I cover right for the break is not exactly nutball. It's tragic because, again, you've got a stepdaughter fighting her stepmother over access to Peter Falk, the actor who was on Columbo and all that. But Anna Nicole Smith, now here's somebody else that just, you know, bless her heart, died a number of years ago. But the hits just keep on coming. She had a hearing way back when she had died, and the judge that had handled her case, it was about where they're going to bury the poor woman, ended up burying her in Bahamas next to her son, but her mother wanted to bury it in Texas and blah, blah, blah. Well, the judge in that hearing, apparently in the middle of the hearing, broke down and cried because it was such a sad thing and all that. Well, that guy, a judge in Florida, is now being accused of abusing an elderly person, an 83-year-old neighbor, not physically, well, kind of physically abusing her, trying to bilk her out of lots of money. He's accused, Larry Seidlin, good old Judge Seidlin down there, is accused of failing to feed and medicate his neighbor and endangering her health. Apparently, he is, quote, trying to help this neighbor, but is being accused of trying to bilk her her estate out of hundreds of thousands of dollars, that the caretaker of the old lady is saying that the judge has talked the little lady into thinking that he's her son, that she should make a new will, something like that, leave all her money to him. She's got a multi-million dollar estate. You know, just, I'll tell you what, you just, if you're around this stuff long enough, after a while, you just kind of go, this ain't good. And let's not forget, poor Anna Nicole left a screwed up, totally screwed up will that specifically disinherited her baby daughter. And, you know, and the lawyer, there's another lawyer of hers the guy that was her boyfriend who was feeding her drugs that eventually killed her, is also now accused of feeding her drugs that almost killed her, and he's got criminal charges against him, and he's apparently putting together this big legal defense, which I guess I don't blame the guy on that. And don't forget that Anna Nicole Smith's trouble started when she married this real wealthy older man. And he was like 88 and she was like 24. What was it? 36, 24, 36, whatever she was. She was 24, I think, Snoop. And then, you know, he died and the family sued her. And, you know, it brings up the whole notion of remarriage protection and all that, which we talk about a lot at the We Will Law Firm, too. So, Anna Nicole Smith, we'll kind of keep you up to speed on that. We got Peter Falk, Anna Nicole Smith. There'll be more stuff on Heath Ledger and his will and the problems with his little girl. There'll be more stuff on James Brown. There'll be more stuff on a lot of people. Now, this brings up a great point. And the great point is that privacy, I think, is a diminishing commodity. I think we have less and less privacy going forward. And one of the things that we get a lot of questions on at the We Will Law Firm is, you know, I mean, how private is my stuff? And the answer is not very private. You can make your assets much more private if you create a revocable living trust and actually fund the trust, which means that your assets aren't owned by you, they're owned by the trust, so that when something happens to you, you become incapacitated, things work. We don't have to go to court. When somebody dies, things work. We don't have to go to court. Going to court exposes assets to the public. In some smaller counties, it's you have to go to the courthouse, but everything filed regarding the deceased can be found in the courthouse and copied. It's a public record. But stuff in a larger county like Travis County is available on the Internet. And it's amazing but true that if you die in Travis County and you go through probate, that your will's going to end up on the Internet, and a large part of your financial assets are going to be listed and put on the Internet too. A lot of people don't like that, and I don't blame them. So that the only way around that typically is to do a fully funded revocable living trust, which is something to think about. Okay, our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370, and it looks like we've got a caller on the line right now. We got John. John, this is Brad Wewell. I appreciate your calling. What can I help you with?
Yes, Brad. This is a little off topic, but
hey, bring it on.
I think you're the guy.
All right.
I have a 9-year-old grandson that the other day just all of a sudden popped up and said he couldn't wait till he was 12, and I asked him why, and he said so he could come live with his dad. In the state of Texas, at what age will a court or a court advocate start listening to a child as to what they want to do and why?
12. No kidding. You know, and I don't mean to make too light of that. That's a serious thing, and I think it's a serious flaw in the law, John, but that little boy is right. Now, are you related to his mother or are you related to his daddy?
To his dad.
All right. So, you know, now it's not automatic, but at 12, it used to be 10. For a long time, it was 14. Then they kind of got wild and took it down to 12. Then they got real wild and took it down to 10. I think the problem with 10 is it's just too young, and a lot of people think that 12 is too young. I'm not sure. I think that 12 might be a little young. But the bottom line is that at 12, the court will at least listen to the child. The child can file something in court that says, Judge, this is who I want to live with. And the court can listen to it. And if the judge feels like okay, then the judge can award a change of custody to the person the child wants. And it's kind of a best interest test. The court always has to look and decide, is this in the best interest of the child? But if the court decides that it is, then that's what can happen. Did that surprise you?
Not really. I was still stuck on 14, but I certainly wasn't going to argue with him because, you know, it's still a few years away for him to think about things, you know.
Well, it's interesting that he is thinking about things like that. Why do you think, what brought that up, do you think?
Well, his mom is not an abusive mom. I'm more thankful that she isn't any worse than she is. Let's put it that way.
Okay, I understand. That's a kind way of putting it there, John. Well, you know, I did family law for about 10 years. And it is a frustrating thing. And, you know, when you're dealing with ex-in-laws and grandchildren and all that stuff, it is frustrating. I will tell you that even when the little boy gets to the point where he says, I'm ready to make a change, it will be expensive because you can count on his mama fighting that. And that means that his daddy's going to have to go to court and hire a lawyer, and it could be a big duke out.
Well, we all have a sufficient relationship. It just may or may not evolve to that. She's got four more younger kids.
Wow.
That's one reason why it's frustrating them a lot.
Well, sure.
But
is he the child? Is your son the father of the other children too?
No.
Okay. Well, then that's understandable then too. And a lot of times what happens later when boys get to be teenage years, they want to go live with their father. And girls get teenage years, they kind of want to live with their mother, and maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. But I think that's the reason of the law. And some judges, I know I've been in front of a lot of judges that will give a lot of weight to what especially an older teenager wants, because you don't want to live in a house with a disgruntled teenager.
No,
you know what I mean?
Well, they're all disgruntled somewhat.
Well, that's right. No, I've got three teenagers, and I live with that every day. But
okay.
Anyway, it's a good question, and 12 is the age.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
You bet. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, great. Good question. All right, so we're taking calls this morning, 390-1370, 390-1370. Next week, we're going to have Laura Stevens. Laura is an excellent CPA here in Austin. She's been on the show a number of times. She's going to be talking about last-minute tax savings tips. Last-minute tax saving tips. So be sure to tune in next week for Laura Stevens, who's going to be our guest, and some good things she's got to share. I'm going to kind of dig through here a little bit more. Let's see what else this Candace got. Again, call in number 390-1370, 390-1370. I'll tell you what, I've got a couple of fun things to talk about when I come back. We need to take another break. When I come back, we'll take your calls. We'll answer questions, and we'll see where we go. We're going to have about 10 minutes left in the next segment. All our phone lines are open, 390-1370, 390-1370. I will see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Rock and roll. Good morning, Brad Wewell, Law Talk with Brad, Saturday, beautiful Saturday. Let's get this show going again. Call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. We're taking your questions. We're happy to take your questions. There's a lot of stuff out there, folks, you need to know, and it can and will hurt you if you don't know what the heck's going on. So let's see what we got going here. We've got an interesting editorial in the Austin American-Statesman couple days ago about the estate tax, the death tax. And this was written by Clayton Leverett, who is apparently a rancher out in Llano. And it's a sad story, folks. It's a story of a fifth-generation ranch that is being eaten away. They have to sell off more at each generation to pay the tax. And so, you know, he makes an excellent point. If you can get a hold of this, it is certainly worth reading, and frankly, it's well-written, as well-written as anything I've read on this topic. The estate tax is going to be around for a while. We really don't know what's going to happen to it. This year, it's fairly generous, $3.5 million exemption, the most it's ever been. Married couples only get one exemption per couple, not per person, unless they do some additional planning. If they do some additional planning, we can get married couples two exemptions per couple. But we don't know what the exemption is going to be next year, and this is kind of wild. We don't know what it's going to be next year. If they don't change the law, we'll have an exemption of a gazillion because there's not supposed to be an estate tax next year. And if they don't change the law, the exemption is going to drop to $1 million in 2011, which is about 1 year and 10 months away, 9 months away now. So you got to be careful. That $1 million exemption could sneak up to on us. And, of course, we'll keep you posted here on Law Talk with Brad about that. But the idea that you have to sell off a business that's been around in this ranch for five generations is a bit repugnant. And nevertheless, this is what it looks like the families ended up doing. So I don't know what kind of planning Mr. Leverett got. I'm sure he said he spent $60,000 on it, which I can certainly believe. There may have been a way for them to avoid those taxes. There may have been a way for them to create maybe a separate way to pay for them. I don't know. It's a sad situation here. The point I would want to make on this is that if you do planning, you can certainly minimize taxes. Oftentimes, you can eliminate them, but most of the time, and I say most of the time, virtually in every situation, we can minimize and we can lower them and do it very legitimately. Estate taxes, you may have heard me say this on this show, are voluntary taxes. You don't have to pay them. But sometimes the way to get out of them may not be the way you want to get out of them because you may have to give money to charity or do some other things. So you say, okay, we'll pay some tax, but what's the least amount we can pay? And so we can help with that. Good quality lawyers, board certified, particularly estate planning lawyers, can help you minimize those taxes and avoid what the Leverett family is going through, perhaps, and maybe not. I don't know what the situation was. They did spend a bunch of money, but they still ended up paying a lot of tax and selling off part of the property. And the problem with a lot of landowners, ranchers, farmers, folks that own developmental property, is that they tend to be land poor and cash, land rich and cash poor. They have large estates because they have lots and lots of land. But if you're running a cattle operation or a farming operation, or even maybe a small business, I'm telling you, if you don't do that, I'll tell you. If you do it, you already know. You just don't make a lot of cash off that business. It's nice to look at a financial statement and say you're worth $5 million, $10 million. What's your annual income? Oh, about $60,000. Because there's, with land, you make money off the land with the cattle or with the crops. And so it's a frustrating thing, and there are a few ways around some of these issues, but you got to plan, and you got to plan early, and you can't come in after mom or dad has lost competency and expect to get a lot done because it's too late. So if you're in that situation, you absolutely need to get estate planning done early. We don't know, as I just said, what the law is going to be even next year. We don't know what the law is going to be on estate taxes 9 months and 4 days from today. We don't know. We don't know what's going to be a year from now. So, but there are some things that we can anticipate that are going to happen. And if you do some careful planning, you can avoid some of the worst aspects of that. So get on it and don't fool around, because we do see people walk in that have fooled around, and not intentionally, but this is not something people really want to go in and talk about. I compare coming to a lawyer sometimes to going to the endodontist. And if you don't know what an endodontist is a dentist who just does root canals. Perfect. Can't wait. Get up early. Set the alarm early to get up and go get your root canal. Well, sometimes that's what it's like, or may feel like, going to go see an estate attorney. But I'm telling you, estate attorneys are maybe considered necessary evils, but we can help a lot of situations, and we can certainly solve a lot of problems and anticipate a lot of problems and prevent a lot of problems from happening. So it's a great article. It was in the March 25th edition of the Austin American Statesman, so that would be Wednesday, and I would check it out and read it, but it's a great article. Okay, Snoop just gave me the 3-minute warning, which means that I am out of time. And appreciate you listening. I sure do. I want to remind you that next week we've got Laura Stevens. Laura is a good friend and an excellent CPA. She's been on before. She's going to be giving us some last-minute tax tips, and you want to listen to that because taxes, I'll tell you, I was talking to my wife, Cindy. I love my wife. She said, honey, it's taxes. Well, you know what? Everybody feels that way. And I will tell you, I don't care if you're a liberal conservative. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I am the absolute most conservative on the day I write that check for those taxes, because I kind of wonder what in the H-E-double-L are they going to do with my money? And the answer is, I don't know. And they're not asking me what I think they should do. So Laura's going to be here and will help you hopefully try to minimize some of those taxes. It is Saturday and tomorrow is Sunday. It should be a beautiful day tomorrow too. So what you need to do, as you know, is get your little butt out of bed and go to church. You'll be better for it. We'll be better for it. The country still needs your prayers. Don't believe just because the stock market's gone up a little bit that we're out of this thing. We are not out of this thing. So pray for the country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for Rotha. One for me. I'd appreciate that, too. Let's see. What else? Matt Nader has got a great show on Sunday. I may want to tune into him on your way to church and on your way back from church. And we've got coming up right after this. We've got the home show, and it's a great show, so listen to that, too. I will see you next week with Laura Stevens on Last-Minute Tax Tips. This is Brad Wewell. Thanks for listening.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.